Oh, yeah. It's the Mornings with Ed show, KX93.5, and some days are just simply better than others when you come to work. And I found out I had Mickey Dolenz, and I was able to speak to him. I went crazy. I'm telling you, Mickey Dolenz, and he's got a show July 5th at the Coach House right here in town, and I've got tickets to give away to that a little bit later on this morning. Let's get Mickey on the line right now, though. Mickey Dolenz, former Monkey. Mickey, how are you this morning?
I am very good. How are you?
I'm better now that we've got you on the phone. How are you? You have a couple of here at the radio station. You have a stalker named Randy, by the way. She absolutely loves, yeah. So I would immediately start packing my things and looking for another place to live because she's probably already got your address. How's it going? How's it going this one? Now that you've heard that, how's it going, Mickey?
Oh, it's good. Very good. Looking forward to coming down there. I got that show at the Coach House, yeah. And then a couple of others up here in Los Angeles. I'll be down at the Del Mar Fair on the 4th, for the 4th of July. And things are. I just got back from Australia.
Ooh.
Which, boy, that jet lag kills you.
Yeah. You did a tour there. So it was Australia and New Zealand, right?
Yep.
Oh, man.
Yep. Mike and I did New Zealand, Australia, strange because you're 17 hours in the future. I felt like I was in the movie Interstellar.
Now, tell me, does the water actually flow when you flush? Does it flow the opposite direction down there? Did you test that out?
I didn't actually. I didn't notice.
Well, next trip, I want you to do me a favor and test that out. See if it's actually true.
I'll do that for you.
Mickey, what can we expect when we come see you at the Coach House on the 5th?
Well, I always, whether it's a solo show or with the other guys, I always do the big Monkey hit.
Right.
I sang most of them, and so I always make sure that the audience gets what they've come for. And let's face it, well, most people, want to hear those big hits.
Right.
And I do them in their entirety. I don't do any medleys or anything like that.
Which is why we love you so much.
I do them as they remember them, because that's what I like to hear when I go see acts that I grew up on or loved or are a fan of. and then once the audience knows that they're going to get what they came for.
Right.
Then, you can throw in other stuff, album cuts,
right.
Deep album stuff. Yeah. And then if I'm doing non-Monkey stuff, and I do a couple of non-Monkey tunes,
right.
But they'll always, in fact, have a story or a reason behind them. For instance, I do Johnny B. Goode by Chuck Berry.
Ooh.
And I tell the audience it's because that was my audition piece for the Monkees. That's the song that got me the gig.
Wow, you had to be confident to audition with Johnny B. Goode, man.
Well, that was one of the songs that I was doing in my cover band called Mickey and the One Nighters.
Great
before
name
before the Monkees.
Great name for a cover band, man. Now, the songs that aren't familiar, that we're not familiar with, the non-Monkey songs, what's the song you're proudest of that's a non-Monkey song? One that we might not be familiar with. What are you really proud of that you produce?
Oh, boy.
You didn't think you'd get a tough question, huh? I mean, it's all feathers thrown at you, huh?
you mean that I've recorded or that I perform on stage?
That you're really proud of, that we may not know a lot. One that you've recorded is what I initially wanted to think of.
Oh, boy. Well, there's a few. I did an album called Remember recently. And I'm very proud of some of the songs on that album. I did a rendition of The Diary, David Gates' Bread,
ooh,
The Diary.
Oh, I found her diary underneath the tree. I love
that. Yeah, I love that song. And I do a different rendition of it. I do a different rendition of a song I wrote called Randy's Casket. And I do a different rendition, believe it or not, of Sugar Sugar, because that was a song that I was supposed to record but didn't. And they gave it to a cartoon group called the Archies.
The Archies, I remember.
And I do quite a different rendition of that if you ever get a chance to hear that one.
I'm not kidding. We're going to hear it as soon as we're out of here, man. I'm not even kidding. As soon as I'm going to pop you up, and I want to hear that. So
it's on an album called Remember.
All right. I'm all over it. Now, your sister is in your band. Is that correct?
My sister, Coco.
All right.
Yeah. Incredible singer. Really great singer.
All right.
A lot better than I am.
I wouldn't sell myself short. I'm telling you, for some reason, you have resonated. And I know the reason. The reason is you're a great singer. You're a great performer. You're not just a great singer, but a great performer. And your voice and your style have resonated for years. The Monkees hits and the Monkees that are... How's it lasted so long? What do you think that secret is? Why are we so attracted to the Monkees still?
Well, you know, that's a good question. I get asked that a lot. I don't think it's so much a secret. One of the producers, when asked that question years after, said, you know, we just caught lightning in a bottle.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's kind of what happens, not just with the Monkees, but if you think of any, you know, other famous, wonderful television shows, say like Star Trek.
Right.
You can't break it down. There's no secret. You can't take it apart and say, oh, well, it was just William Shatner, or, oh, well, it was just the special effects,
right,
or it was just this or that. You can't do that with any TV show or a movie or a record. You can't take a record apart and say, oh, well, it's because they went from the G to the A chord, you know, or it was just the lyric, or it was just... What happens, the way I look at it, is that in an artistic project like The Monkees or like a record or a movie or whatever, the whole suddenly becomes greater than the sum of its parts. And you can't really reduce it in a scientific sense. You can't take it apart and say, oh, well, it was just this or that. You just catch lightning in a bottle. You get lucky, and that's, you know, I think that in the case of the Monkees, of course, we were surrounded by such incredibly talented people,
right,
especially like the songwriters. I mean, you look at the songwriters of the Monkee songs, Boyce and Hart, Carole King and Jerry Goffin, yeah, Harry Nilsson, Neil Diamond,
man,
who wrote the biggest song, I'm a Believer, Carol Bayer Sager, Diane Hildebrand, Barry Mann, Cynthia Weil. I mean, it just goes on and on.
That's a who's who of writing greats right there. That's
the list
of writing greats.
Yeah, so, and then the television show had great writers and great directors and great producers, and you just put it all together and something ignites. It just takes off. So, like I say, it's not so much a secret or a formula. I mean, let's face it, if there was a formula for this stuff, there'd never be a flop.
This is true. Now, when you mentioned the television show, and you don't have to answer this, I'm just going to tell you what it was like for me. Growing up and watching the Monkees, man, it was the coolest thing. And I used to catch you on Saturdays. It was a Saturday morning show for me, somewhere in between Sigmund and the Sea Monsters and the Banana Splits or something, man.
Right.
But the actual show itself was so funny and so wacky funny, and you were all like spot on actors. This isn't just a band that was doing acting on the side. You guys were great actors. And how much work went into actually acting in those days?
Well, let me back up a second and just clarify that the Monkees was not a band. It was a television show.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry. About a band.
Sorry.
That's a common sort of misconception.
Right.
The Monkees started out as a TV show about this band, an imaginary band that lived in this beach house in Malibu,
right,
which does beg the question of how we could afford a Malibu beach house when we never got any work.
Yeah, you were squatters.
And
like every other band.
It was a TV show about this band that wanted to be the Beatles. And it was the struggle for success that I think is part of the reason it was endeared by so many, because we were never successful on the TV show. That band, that imaginary band on the TV show, was never successful. But the producers must have had in mind that we were going to go out and actually perform, because they not only cast people who could act, and the audition process was quite involved, including screen tests and improvisation classes and singing and playing. You had to be able to sing and play. Right. To get to the auditions. Like I told you, my audition piece was Johnny Be Good by Chuck Berry. Right. So it was a combination. If you think of the Monkees more like musical theater, like the Marx Brothers.
Right.
In fact, it was John Lennon. Did I drop that name?
Yes, you did.
It was John Lennon was the first that I remember saying the Monkees are like the Marx Brothers. And that was very accurate.
Well, he was accurate that way. He was, you know what? He could kind of see things.
Mm-hmm.
So
you're absolutely right.
So the show itself, was it always slated to be a Saturday morning show? Was it ever
No.
Oh, okay.
No, the original show was on primetime television.
Primetime at night.
It's 7:30 on a Monday night on the original series. For 2 years.
Wow.
On NBC. So you saw the first set of reruns.
I did. Well, I got to be honest with you. Every bit of them, I absolutely love every moment of the shows. And I'm looking forward to loving every moment of your performance when you come out to the Coach House. By the way, if you're just joining us, we're talking to Mickey Dolenz and a show at the Coach House on July 5th that we absolutely must catch. I've got some tickets to give away. Mickey, it's an absolute pleasure speaking with you, man.
Thank you, man. That was so great of you to give me all your time.
Oh, no, man. Absolute pleasure. This has been my pleasure, and I'd love to have you. Now I'm going to put you on the spot for a couple of things here. I would love, if you're ever in Orange County and specifically in Laguna Beach, come on in, sit across from us, bring your guitar, and hang out. We'll talk. We'll chat. You know, I'd love to have you in studio.
You got it.
All right. And I'm about to play Last Train to Clarksville. Who wrote that?
Tommy Boyce and Bobby Hart.
All right. We've been talking to Mickey Dolenz. Mickey, we'll see you on July 5th. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right.
See you there. Bye.
Bye now.
I don't know if I'm ever coming home.
I don't care what he says. They were a band to me. Monkees last train to Clarksville, and we had just spoken with Mickey Dolenz from the Monkees with a show on July 5th at the Coach House. I've got a couple of tickets for you and a guest on that night. Just text me the word Mickey to 949-715-5936, 949-715-5936. You and a guest will go see Mickey Dolenz live at the Coach House on the 5th. Does that work for you? That works for me. All right, let's get you going here. Okay, here we go. Well, that took a while. 949-715-5936. Text the word Mickey. Score tickets to July 5th at the Coach House. Mickey Dolenz.